Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Chaf Hey Amud Beis. We're starting with the next Mishnah about a Bechor. Now, when it comes to a Bechor, the Torah tells us that a Bechor of a kosher domestic animal, a cow, a sheep, or a goat, it becomes Kadosh Merechem. In the moment that it's born, it must be given to a Kohen. The Kohen brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. He brings it as a Korban. The Bechor is not allowed to be shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash unless it has a Mum Kavua. Mum Kavua is a permanent blemish, which is something that makes it disqualified for bringing on the Mizbeach, and therefore it's something that the Kohen is allowed to eat afterwards. Because of the fact that it's a major tircha, think about it, a guy lives all the way up north, let's say, he lives in Tzfas or something, and he's a Kohen, and you give him this animal, so l'chora, he's going to have a, he's going to want to make sure, that not want it, whatever, he's a tzaddik, but he's going to have in mind the mammon that he wanted to have this permanent blemish. So in order to avoid this shaila, so the we would have an expert establish that it is a mumcha. Someone who's an expert has to establish that it was a mum kavua, in which case the Kohen no longer has to bring it to Beis HaMikdash and be allowed to shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Just important to note, by the way, when it comes to halachas of Bechor apply Bizman Hazeh just as much as they applied Bizman Beis HaMikdash, and therefore what many will do is because there will be Kaddosh, you have to wait for it to get a Mum, Bizman Hazeh, so it gets very complicated. So what you can do is you have a Shutvus with a Goy, just like we have a Shutvus with a Goy with a Shutvus, but we give our Chametz to a Goy, you can have a Kinyan with a Goy, so just like you make a Kinyan with a Goy, you can make a Kinyan with a Goy and give him a Shutvus in your animal, so they therefore not be Chayav in Bechor. Now going back to, so the Mishnah tells us if you have a Bechor shenafal abor, if an animal fell into a pit on Yom Tov, so the owner is concerned the animal is going to die if you leave it there, and he wants to prevent the loss, he wanted to get the animal out of the pit. However, the animal is going to be mukta because you have to bring it only in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's definitely not where you're planning on bringing it today, so it's definitely going to be mukta. However, if it has the status of a mum, then maybe it's something you're allowed to be shechted, and maybe it wouldn't be mukta. Rabbi Huda Omer, Yered Mumcha Vira. An expert can go down and check it out and see if it is going to have a mum or not. If the expert finds indeed that there is a permanent blemish, she's allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. Now, Rashi points out very importantly that Rabbi Yehuda holds is very machmir in the halachas of mukta. So how would he hold that a blemish that is coming, a mum that's happening on Yom Tov itself, would create the heter? It was something that clearly I was not having in mind, my das, to use this animal. I thought I had to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about the Kohen right now. How in the world are you allowed to be shechted on Yom Tov? So Rashi points out, our Mishnah is referring to a Bechor that already had the mum before Yom Tov, but it hadn't been checked by the expert to determine whether or not the Bechor is as a permanent blemish or not. Therefore, when it falls into the pit on Yom Tov, the expert it's allowed to go down and examine the original blemish. We're not talking about a new one. In a chanami, if you have a new one, even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda. If it's a permanent blemish, the animal is allowed to be taken out and shechted. If it's not going to be mukta, since the owner knew about the blemish before Yom Tov, and therefore it'd be permitted. V'im lav, and if it's not that case, then lo yishchot, you're not allowed to shecht it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol she'ein mumo nikar b'bod yom. Any case where blemish was not recognizable before it was Yom Tov, ein zem en emuchad. That's not, I was not considered prepared before Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to shechted on Yom Tov. And Rashi points out that clearly, again, Rabbi Shimon can't be talking about the animals forbidden status b'tzad mukta because he's making on the lachas of mukta. Rather, he's saying in a different point that there's something else that there's the expert examining the mumcha being zagged on Yom Tov is similar to a lach of making a din. We're going to get to this gemara later in the Mishnah on the Lamids. The Mishnah is going to talk about that it's usher to make a din on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon is holding that having the mumcha come and make this psak, whether or not it's a permanent blemish, that's something that's similar to a psak din, which is making something usable, which is like masakin, and therefore it's going to be usher on Yom Tov, and then it's not going to be mutter. So that's an important question the Mishnah already discusses. Man, is this, and then how am I allowed to go ask the Rav a Shaila Bizman Hazeh? I go Shema Chicken, that I realize there's a Shaila of a Trefa on Yom Tov itself, so is the Rav not allowed to pass in that Shaila? So Mishnah Berurah quotes the Truma Sedeshin, and he says no, that case is going to be mutter because the Rav isn't saying that chicken is now kosher. It was kosher all along. He's telling you something that was kosher all along, and therefore it's not considered misakin the chicken. I just didn't know the halacha. So why is the mumcha any different? With regards to a bechor, the fact that you need the mumcha's official pronouncement and the official psak that says that it's mutter, that's mamash nirek and misakin, even though theoretically you could have made a similar argument here. We're saying that the official psak makes it that it's usher. Okay, so that's the chiluk bizman hazeh, and you would be allowed to ask a Rav or Shaila for him to give you a formal psak. Now the Gemara says, "B'mayikim lifligi." What exactly is the machlokas? The machlokas clearly can't be whether animals muktzah because Rabbi Shimon generally is more mekel than Rabbi Yehuda. So what exactly is the assumed machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, "Inema biroin mumin kimlifligi." If we're going to suggest that maybe that they're arguing about whether you're allowed to examine a blemish on Yom Tov bichlal, that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda savar roim mumin biyomtev. Rabbi Shimon savar ein roim mumin biyomtev. Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that an expert is allowed to examine a blemish on Yom Tov, whereas Rabbi Shimon you would say that an expert is not allowed to examine a blemish on Yontif. So Gemara says to find and bring a much more simple case then. So let them disagree with the case of examining a blemish of Bechor. Why do they say they're machlokes with regards to a Bechor that specifically fell in a pit? Just tell me, in general, can I check out a Bechor status on Yontif? Check out a Bechor. So the Gemara says, so no, the Enechanami, that the Gemara is saying that we want to specifically mention an extra Chiddush, why we're mentioning the case of a Bechor in the pit. Because Bechor Shnafel Abor Itzuchalei, I specifically want to mention the case of a Bechor that fell into a pit. To teach you a Chiddush, Shalkadaitach, Amine Mishim Tarbalei Chayim, I would have said that the reason is, you may have thought, to say that because of the pain of a creature, and therefore the Bechor that's in the pit right now, Tzar Balei Chayim, that's a Shaila exactly, where the source for Tzar Balei Chayim, when Mitzia talks about it a little bit, what exactly, we assume that the Reisa, Tzar Balei Chayim, there might be some psukim, but where we say Bilam hit the donkey, Hashem was upset at him for hitting the donkey, where exactly the Torah tells you the Tzar Balei Chayim is a problem, that is a Shaila. But Be'etzim, we hold Tzar Balei Chayim that's causing pain to any animal is potentially a Shaila of a Reisa. So some say it's an erachat or whatever you want to discuss. It's whatever it is. It's something that is very important value. So therefore, the Bechor in the pit, I would have said that maybe you could do la'arim leske. You could do an harama. Harama is like to be a little deceitful. You're not really planning on taking the animal right now. So therefore, I would have thought that that Rabbi Yehuda would permit the examining of Bechor and Yomtev, would not have known that he would hold that when it comes to Bechor that fell into a pit and Yomtev, I would have thought maybe out of concern for the animal's plan, Rabbi Yehuda would say that you would have a special heter to take it out and really just look at it, even though it's not really your plan, you're just trying to take it out and nothing to do with actually having it, and therefore you would allow this type of deceitfulness to do it. Gemara says, Kid Rabbi Yeshua is a similar halacha with regards to Rabbi Yeshua, elsewhere we see of an animal falling into a pit. What's the case of Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua tells us, Rashi tells us, based on Gemara and Lama Dinam and Aleph, that when an animal and its offspring fall into a pit on Yantiv, so there's a problem because there's an Isser Dereisa to shecht both of them on Yantiv, Isser Oso Ve'espino, don't shecht the mother and the son on the same day, and that would be an Isser Dereisa to shecht both animals on Yantiv. Yet, Rabbi Yeshua allows you to remove both animals from the pit on Yantiv, even though you're only allowed to shecht one of them, because what are you doing? You're doing a Rama. You're going to be deceitful and say, oh, I'm going to check this one out. Maybe I want this one. And then you're going to say, no, you know, actually, I really want the second one. So really, that wasn't your kavana from the outset, but still, we allow this deceitfulness in order to avoid Tzar Balei Ba'alei Chayim. So here, I would have thought that maybe Rabbi Yehuda was teaching you a Chiddush Kamash Blan. I would teach you that, therefore, the Mishnah is telling you that Rabbi Yehuda does not permit a removal of Bechor from the pit to do this Harama. You're not allowed to use this deceitful practice and do this Harama, even though there is Tzar Balei Chayim over here. But still, in the case of the Oso Beno, on the other hand, both animals are fundamentally allowed to be used on Yantav, so there's no real full-fledged Muktz over here. When it comes to the Bechor, since it's full-fledged Muktz, Rabbi Yehuda would not allow you to use this deceit, this deceitful action, and pretend, Ki'ilu, that you're taking it out, even though you're at the expense of Tzar Balei Chayim. You would not be allowed to take it out. So the Gemara says, if that's the whole point of the Mishnah, then if that's the point of the Mishnah, talking about that you're not allowed to use a harama to take out the animal, so then why is the Mishnah's lashon of lo yishchot, you're not allowed to shecht it? Lo yalev yishchot mibayle. The Mishnah should have just told you that you shouldn't bring it up and shecht it. If the Mishnah's whole point is that at the end of the day, we're teaching you that the animal must be left to suffer in the pit, even though it might have a permanent blemish in Yantiv, so why does the Mishnah tell you the lashon of that, and if it's not, you're not allowed to shecht it, which teaches us nothing new, since obviously you're not allowed to shecht it, because we're telling you that there was no blemish there. So obviously you're not allowed to shecht it, because then it would be like, you'd be shechting kachin b'chutz, which is the vol-fledged isser d'orais, so you're not allowed to shecht it if there's a no blemish on it. So what's the Mishnah teaching you with the second lashon? So therefore, the Gemara answers lo tricha. So then you have to explain that our Mishnah and that you're not allowed to shecht it is actually needed for a different point. To avar ve'aske, we're talking about a case where someone violated the halacha. You removed the animal from the pit before the expert examined it. So then I would have thought zogadaytach amina l'shecht. You might have been able to shecht it. So Kamashman Mishnah is teaching that even b'dieved you're not allowed to shecht it. The Gemara is going to ask in a second. What is that? Wait a second. What case we're talking about? You're allowed to shecht it. What are we talking about? Where there was no blemish? If there was no blemish, then hatamu, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Then it's not blemish, and it's isser of shechting korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's an isser of reisa, vada, you're not allowed to shecht it. So then there would be no need for the Mishnah to teach me that Chiddush. So says the Gemara, lo tzricha. So the Mishnah is necessary to teach me that you're not allowed to be shechted. The Nelfal Bei Muma. It's talking about if it developed a permanent blemish, which would permit it shechting during the weekday. So then where it says, so why would I have thought that that's okay though? V'amuktu, at the end of the day, it developed it on Yantiv. As you just mentioned earlier in the introduction to the Mishnah, that if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, If it developed it on Yantav, it's Pashut. Not Rabbi Shechta, because Rabbi Yehuda is more machmer in the halachas of Mukta. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold that something that's not fit for the beginning of Yantav is not fit the whole day. It's considered Mukta. So obviously you're not allowed to Shechta. So Gemara says, Ela denafal beimum over me'erev Yantav. Rather, we're talking about a case where the animal developed a temporary blemish before Yantav, and hashta havelei mum kavua, and now it developed into a more permanent blemish. So therefore, I would have thought maybe it's not full-fledged Mukta. Because what I have thought, ma'a desema de daitele. I would have thought the owner has in mind, maybe he's able to use it. Oh wow, look at this mum over here, look at this blemish. Maybe it's going to turn into a full blemish and a lot of shechted even on Yantiv. And I would have thought that it's not necessarily going to be mukta. So says the Gemara, Kamash Malam Nishchat. So I would have thought, again, Bema'u Desima Daita Alei Vinishchate Kamash Malam. Mishnah is telling you that's not the case. You're not allowed to shechted because in the day, the animal is mukta. Even the case over here, the animal is usher to use the beginning of Yantiv, and therefore it's mukta machmas iser, and it would remain usher the entire day. So therefore, the Mishnah is teaching you that if when it comes to the blemished animal, but it's not checked by Bechor, fell into the pit, Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to check fundamentally Yantiv, says that the expert must examine if it's in the pit and the blemish was there before Yantiv, then you're allowed to take it out. If that's not the case, and if not, if the blemish is examined and found not to have been permanent at the beginning of the Yantiv, then even though the animal was taken out of the pit, still, it's going to not allowed to be shechted on Yantiv because the animal developed the mum seemingly on Yantiv. So the Gemara says that that's the Chiddush over here. Now, there's two versions of what exactly the Hemshech of the Gemara based on the Girsas. We'll first go with our Girsas, and then I'll mention what Rashi's second version of the interpretation of the Hemshech of this Tanur Rabban, of this Braisa, is in a moment. So the Braisa tells us, Tanur Rabban, we learn in a Braisa, Bechor Tam Shnafal Abor. If you have an unblemished Bechor that fell into a pit on Yantiv, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So this is not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda or Mishnah. Stam Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, much, much earlier, Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So he's much earlier than Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was like 150 years later. So this is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the person who redacted all the Mishnayos, put together all the Mishnayos. He's known as Rebbe. He was much later. So he is in this price of year. And he says, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, you're in Momchav Yira. An expert is allowed to go down to the pit and examine the Bechor. He's allowed to check it out, but we're not allowed to use Harama to take out the animal before checking it out. Im yesh b'mum, if it has a permanent blemish, yalav yishcho, you're allowed to bring it up and you're allowed to shecht it. So Bryce is telling us over here that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling us that at the end of the day, that the Bechor that had a permanent blemish in Yantav is not considered Mukta. Even though Bechor was unfit at the beginning of Yantav, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds that the owner had in mind maybe at any point it's going to become permanently blemished, and therefore it's not considered Mukta, and therefore you're allowed to have it. So that is the way that Rashi explains it, based on the Girsa that we actually have. Rashi has another Girsa, which is telling us that it doesn't have the word of Tam. That Bechor Tam Shnafal Abor, just Bechor Shnafal Abor, in which case it would just be basically repeating the exact halacha of the case of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai in our Mishnah. So that's the two different Girsas. I was just giving us the first version, which is Be'etzem our Girsa, which we have the Lashon of without the Lashon of Tam in there. So that's why I explained it like that. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says. So now the Braisa continues. Again, Im yesh b'mum, ya'alav yeshchot. Im lav, if it doesn't lo yeshchot, you're not allowed to shecht it on Yantav. There's no blemish right now, it's not allowed to be shechted. The Braisa, so what Rashi points out, wait a second. What, if it's no mum, then obviously we're talking about a case where it's not going to be, it's going to be something that obviously you're not allowed, that means it doesn't have a blemish. If it doesn't have a blemish, then it's going to be kachin b'chutz, obviously not allowed to shechted. So the Braisa, according to Rashi, says, we must be teaching that even if it developed a mum kavua on Yantav, it's not allowed to be shechted, since the owner violated halachos of Yantav by removing the animal from the pit before you knew that it had the mum, and therefore the Chachamim made a knas on him according to Rashi, and you're not allowed to shecht it the whole day. That's the lo yishchot of here. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Harei Amru Ein Ron Mumim Biyamtav. The Chachamim said that the Chachamim from earlier generations, which Rashi points out, that's referring to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai of our Mishnah. He's referring to it simply as the Stam Rabbi Shimon. He holds that you're not allowed to. So that's that you're not allowed to. Examine blemishes on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Shimon ben Asa continues, Ketzad. So what Rabbi Shimon ben Asa explaining what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was saying, that what? Nolad bo mum erev Yom Tov. If the blemish developed before Yom Tov, in Mavakranos of Yom Tov, you should not examine it on Yom Tov. But if you did examine it b'diavid, then you would be allowed b'diavid to use it. But you still shouldn't do it l'chachila. So that would be because the Yantav does not appear to be an act of something sakin, because it already had the mum beforehand. No lad bo mum, if it did develop a blemish on it, then turning out the next time, that be Yantav. So what happens if it's on Yantav? Rishon Amar in ze minamuchan, that's not considered prepared. So that's a shayla over here. When it's also in ze minamuchan, that means it's usher to use even after the fact, even bidyevet, it's not going to be kosher to be used. When the bechor is unblemished in the beginning of Yantav, it's totally removed from being any sense of being used, and therefore the fact that you're permitting it is mamish going to be near a kemisakin, and therefore it's going to be usher, as Rashi points out, to use this animal on Yom Tov. Vishavin, and they're going to be agreement. Rashi is pointing out this is a hemshech of Rashi Ben Yas's explanation of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda's machlokes. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda would both agree she'im nolad hu umumo imo, that if the bechor was born and his permanent blemish was there before Yamtiv, shezeh min amuchan, and that is considered to be prepared and be shechted on Yamtiv. In the case, the expert is not considered to have to be masakin anything, because the bechor, you already knew, you were like 99% sure that that was a permanent blemish, it was born like that, so therefore it was never going to be a status of being aser, and therefore he never realized being matir anything, is not near a masakin anything, and that was going to be mutter. So the Gemara now says, Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rav Huna Bar Rav Huna had a shiloh over here. Nolad hu umumo imo. If the bechor was born with its permanent blemish, mevakrinos abiyantav lechachila, are you allowed to lechachila call the Rav and the expert and in and let him examine it on the yantav, or should it be b'diavad? So Rabba Bar Rav Huna says that mevakrinos abiyantav lechachila, you're allowed to initially tell the Rav to come in and totally find lechachila and shechter the yantav. The Gemara says, Amar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Abba Tani is a shiloh. Who's this Abba? So many experts should explain it. Just literally, it's his father. His father taught us that im avar avakra mevukar, if he violated the halacha and checked the animal and found it to be a permanent blemish, then in this case it's going to be mutar b'diavad according to Rav Shimon. However, va'at amar b'vakar lechachila, but you said that you're initially allowed to call the Rav over and tell him that he's allowed to come. Va'at anish, you're not allowed to come and tell the Rav that he's allowed to come on yantav itself. So he disagrees with Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So the Gemara says that lechora we have Amar Abaye. Abaye says lechora we have a reason to support Rabba Rav Huna. Kavasti the Rabba Rav Huna mistava, the Rabba Rav Huna seems to be more reasonable. Why? Midiktani tlas above. The Braisa continuing Rabbi Shimon Manasseh's explanation of halacha is divided into three different parts, and therefore the three different parts are meduak like Rabba Bar Rav Huna. How is that so? Where is about to explain? Nolad bo mum me'erev yamtiv. If a bechor developed a blemish before yamtiv, inu vakrinos al yamtiv, you're not allowed to check it out on yamtiv lechachila hudulo. This implies that only initially a person shouldn't check it out. Hadiavet chaper dami. If after the fact it was checked, then that would be okay. That's the first case. What's the second case? Nolad bobum yamtiv. If it developed a blemish on yamtiv itself, Rabbi Shimon Omer Ein Zeh Menuchan. That's the case that we mentioned before. Rabbi Shimon said this is considered not prepared at all, and therefore feel diavad namilo, that even after the fact, if it was checked, then it's still not valid. You're not allowed to check the animal on yamtiv. That is even bidiavad. It's considered a problem. That's the middle bave. Now Hadatani, though, in the third section, the third part of this brayso, tells us v'shavin sheim nolad umuo imo. They agree that if a bechor is born with its permanent blemish, shezeh min amuchan, that is considered to be prepared. Dafilo lechachila namin, that this is telling you that even initially one is allowed to check out the blemish, because had it been like the first, it should be like the first case where it's b'di'evid, where we're talking about where you weren't really sure, the first case where you weren't really sure and you didn't have a chance to ask the Rav before yantav, you're not allowed to call him on yantav. If you did b'di'evid, it's okay. So if that's the same halacha in the third case, so says the Gemara was explaining that really you should have put this all as one case. You should have put the third case over here, the third section of this brace, should have been included in the first section. And since it doesn't put them together, lechora it's implying that the third section has a third halacha, and the third halacha seems to be that even lechachila, even initially, I can call the Rav in and tell him to check, to just make sure that the thing that was born with a mum, and I clearly knew was a mum, would be allowed for him to come on yantiv. So therefore, this braces structure supports Rav Huna's understanding of the fact that it's lechachila. So the Gemara says, "Vaha ki asar of Oshia asav aisim masnisubia." The Rav Oshia was a very authoritative Chizkia. I gave him that. They had very authoritative braces, and he had a brace, and he told us bein shnolad b'mum erev yamtiv, ubein shnolad b'yamtiv. He told us whether the blemish developed before yamtiv or on yamtiv itself. Not considered prepared, and it's not b'shechted even after it was examined. This is against the baya that says that Rabbi Shimon would hold that even the chachila you're allowed to have him if and for sure b'diavad that would be okay. So that was so this lechora is going to be a problem. Rashi points out the chachamim that he's referring to is that it must be that of Rabbi Shimon, who says that that it's usher to check out blemishes generally on yamtiv. Therefore, we see the brace of Rabbi Yosha, Rabbi Shimon. It's the same halacha that a blemish on yantiv and the one before yantiv, both cases not be shechted even if it was checked out. So therefore, the three part braisa is going to lechora be a problem. So the Gemara says ve'ela kikashaha. So if you're going to tell me that the first version of the braisa is difficult because it seems to support Rabba Bar Rav Huna, we should lechora. So what are we going to do? So the Gemara says ahi adabar uchmi. So you're going to tell me it's machlokas braisa. So maybe we should support the first braisa. No, that first braisa was taught by adabar uchmi. The mishabesh v'tani, he made a lot of mistakes when giving over braisa. Keep in mind, he used to memorize everything. So he had to have an incredible memory to memorizing. Apparently, Rashi points out the Amorim recognized that this chacham, oftentimes, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but still, he sometimes had braces a little bit incorrectly. So therefore, we're assuming Rabbi Yosha is more authoritative, and therefore, we're assuming his version is more correct. And the three-part braisa means you should really actually, that wasn't presented properly. It wasn't a three-part braisa. The first halacha maybe was grouped together, and they both were b'di'evit, even not going to be kosher, and therefore, there's no raya. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara wants to bring a raya for Rabbi Yosha. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Masnisa Nami Daika. So our Mishnah actually seems to support Rabbi Yosha's understanding. How is that? The Ketani, because the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol She'in Mumunika Me'erev Yomtev, in a case where its blemish was not recognized before Yomtev, Ein Zemanuchan, that's not considered prepared. So Gemara says, My Einu Nika. What does it mean that the blemish was not recognized? Ilema She'in Mumunika Kol. If you're going to tell me that the blemish wasn't recognized at all before Yomtev, it had no blemish before Yomtev, then Pshita. You don't need to mention that case. Tzricha L'Mimar. Rabbi Shimon needed to tell me this. He's coming off of Rashi points, he's coming off of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was the one who holds that Muksa for sure is going to apply on Yomtev where I didn't have in mind that I was going to use it. So clearly it's going to be unfit, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. He's going to be more machmir than Rabbi Yehuda, so it can't be that he would have to tell you that chiddush. Ella de lo is chazil lachacham erev yamtiv. Rather, we're talking about the case where it wasn't seen. The blemish didn't exist before Yom Tov. It wasn't shown to the Chacham before Yom Tov. Imum kavu, imum over. He didn't tell you, established whether or not it was a permanent blemish or a temporary one. Ketani miyat, ein ze manuchan. And yet, we see from there that Rabbi Shimon still says that that's not considered in existence before Yom Tov, and therefore the animal is not considered prepared, and it's going to be utzer to use that animal in Yom Tov. Shmuel, we know from here, Rabbi Yosha taught that even a blemish that developed before Yom Tov, Rabbi Shimon does not permit the use of the Bechor on Yom Tov, even b'di'evet, and that's a good extension. Rabbi Shimon would therefore learn that a Bechor born a blemish on Yom Tov is only going to be after the you checked it, would not allow to examine it on Yantav. It would definitely be B'dievet to check it out. Once you check it out and give a psak in a chanami, then it would be okay, but you're not allowed to check it out according to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now says, this is Hillel, not the Tana that we know during the time by Sheni. That is not the Hillel. This is a Tana, this is a Amorah, I don't know, because he asked the Rava. Rava was in the time of the Amorim, clearly. Yesh Mukta Lechatzi Shabbos. Is something, is there a status of Mukta for half of Shabbos? Oh, ain't Mukta Lechatzi Shabbos. Or there's not going to be something that's going to be Mukta for only part of Shabbos. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment what exactly is this. Hey Chedemi, what is the case that you're talking about over here? When the classic case of muktzah, Rashi points out, is a case where you have figs or grapes, something like that, on the roof, you wanted to dry them. Once you put them on the roof to dry, they're now inedible until they're completely dry. Before they're wet, you're able to eat them. Now that you put them to dry, you have to wait till they become dry in order to eat them. So the shaila is, in the case where the question where mukta is going to be established, are they going to be the mukta for part of Shabbos or not? So we're asked, sihi dami, idis chaze ben hashmashos, if they were dry enough before ben hashmashos, before the twilight period, and after shkia, in between tzeis and beginning of Shabbos, it was fit, so then ichze, then clearly it was going to be fit, and there's no mukta, there's no shaila of mukta whatsoever. And so then, however, if it wasn't fit before this period, then lo echzah, then it was not fit for use, and therefore it's certainly going to be muktzah. So what Rashi just points out, again, if the figs didn't complete their drying process before Shabbos, then clearly they're going to be considered lacking preparation, and they're going to be muktzah. If they are considered not prepared, then that would be a violation of Rashi says of Eichino Sesheriavio. They should prepare, which they should bring. This is not considered prepared, and therefore us are to use these on Shabbos. Rashi quotes the pasuk. It's a very important Rashi over here because he quotes Ve'chinu es asher yaviu. Ve'chinu es yaviu is a pasuk in the Torah. Is that implying that Rashi holds that maybe there's some element of muksa that's deraisa in a chanami? Afiki Yam wanted to learn, some acharim wanted to learn that maybe Rashi holds some portions of muksa might be a real full fledged this isra muksa. This at least this halach over here again, eat some muksa food that was not prepared before Shabbos might be a real shaila of an isra deraisa. Wow. Okay, that might be that we of lechora we assume that most of muksa is halachas derabanan, even this, but there is shitas Rashi here, at least the diuk in Rashi, maybe he holds that some portion of it might be an Isser Daraisa. So either way, we're assuming that it's definitely going to be Muktzah because it's not fit for use right now. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, the case of Hillel is needed for the following case. Where the item was originally fit at the beginning of Shabbos, and then it became unfit while on Shabbos itself. For example, Rashi brings, what happened is that they were sufficiently edible on Shabbos, and then it rained though, rained like an hour later. So now, once it rained, they become inedible again, for whatever, I don't know, Matthias, but apparently that's how they can become inedible, and therefore, now it's not fit anymore. So now, do they go back to their status of being usher, and let's say they become fit again. So what do we see, like Hoel Vishari Shari, that once it's already mutter on the beginning of Shabbos, it's mutter the rest of Shabbos, or maybe the Lacha would tell you that it becomes mukta, and it should be totally mukta the entire Shabbos. Once it gained the status of mukta, it's not going to be able to remove that status of mukta. So now the Gemara says, Rava answered this question. Amar Le Rava responded back to him, to Hillel, Yesh mukta, the Lacha is that this is going to be mukta, it is usher. Once it became mukta in the status of mukta, it's going to remain in the status of mukta during the entire Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Esve, he has to Kash and Rava from the Braisa. Vishavin Shiim Nolad Minamuchan, that their agreement, if the Bechor is born with its blemish, that it's considered to be prepared. So Gemara asks, Vamai, why should be so according to Rava? Nema Hai Bechor Mikara Vechazile Agavime. The Bechor was originally before when it was in the mother's womb. In the twilight period, so then it had been shechted, the unborn animal would have no restrictions of bechor, it would have been allowed to be eaten, it wouldn't be a problem because it's not a bechor yet. It's yalid lay, itchil lay. So then when it's born, it became unfit, since it became the kiddush of a bechor upon birth, in which case, not allowed to shecht it at that point. Then when he showed it to the chachavim and showed the blemish, then it became permitted. But according to Rava, the animal should retain the muktzah status, and the moment that it received at birth, it's going to be usher. So the Gemara says, why should this be okay according to Rava? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Veitimer of Safra, could go into Yasfi Dine Hasam. No, the Bryce is talking about a case where the judges were sitting there when the animal was born, they examined the blemish during the actual birth itself. Therefore, the animal never had the status of Mukta, and Echanami, according to Rava, that wouldn't be an issue, this Bryce. So the Gemara says, Ika de Amre, some say an opposite version of what was the answer of Rava. Amar Lei, Ein Mukta Lachati Shabbos, there is no Lach of Mukta of half Shabbos, it's totally Mutter. Once it has the status of Mutter on Shabbos, Kivan, the Shari Shari, it's Mutter the whole Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayle, so the Bryce actually that we just thought before now is Akasha. Now we're on the opposite end, so we're going to bring it as a proof. They agree that if the Bechor was born with its blemish, that it's considered to be prepared. The Bechor was originally at the start of Yom Tov fit for use through its mother. It was born, it became unfit, since it assumes the Kedusha Bechor. When the Chacham then now permits it, it's going to be permitted to shecht it again. So we see that the Muktzah status is able to remove itself back and forth on Yom Tov itself, and same thing with regards to Shabbos as well. So the verses Amar Abaye Veitimer of Safra could go into Yasri Daniel also. No, it's the answer rejects this proof by bringing what we were trying to answer before, is that the judges were sitting there, therefore the animal never had the status of Mukta, it never became Mukta, and therefore it's not relevant to the Shiloh that Hillel had asked Rava. So the Gemara wants to bring another proof from a Braisa. Tashma, different point from the Braisa. Haya ochal ba'anavim v'hosir. Someone was eating grapes and he left some over. V'hel on the gaglas, was meant to mukim. You want to make raisins out of them, you have them dry and make them raisins. But v'te'in v'hosir, or you want to have figs and you want hel on the gaglas, was meant gorgoglas. You want to have dried figs. A grower is usually a dried fig. Lo yochamem, he should not eat them. Ach yasmin bo yom, until he designates them on Shabbos while it's still daytime before Shabbos. V'chein, atam motzeh ba'farsekin v'chavushin, the same thing with regards to peaches or quince, v'vashar kol mi'bnayos, and all other types of fruits. So the Gemara wants to analyze this price. Where's the Heichidim? What's the case of price is talking about? Eid dechazi, if the dried foods already fit when Shabbos came, so then lamali asmana, why do you have to designate them? You don't have to designate something that's ready before Shabbos, for sure. They're considered sufficiently dried, and the owner clearly wanted to use them, and there's no reason to set them aside. They're considered already muchad for Shabbos. Eid lochazi, however, if they're not fit for use, ki azmin lehu mayhavim. When you designate them, you don't accomplish it. Normally, you have something muktamachmas iser, like something that's muktamachmas gufa, let's say. Something that's like a rock or something. So I could designate the rock if I have a purpose for it on Yantiv or Shabbos, then I could designate it before Yantiv or Shabbos and make it usable. However, you can't designate, Rashi points out, an inedible food and assume that's going to be eaten and like a stone and I say, I'm going to eat it. That's not a designation because no one eats that. So that's the same thing over here. These foods are not considered edible and now you're designating them. That doesn't make them remove its status of mukta. Maybe you're going to tell me the case of the Brace is talking about where a person didn't know whether the fruits were fit or not, and the Brace means to teach you that he wasn't sure, therefore he's allowed to check afterwards. He's too late, he's not too busy on Erev Shabbos to go check. He's going to go check them after and see if they were fit, then it's going to be okay. The Gemara says, but he doesn't even need to designate it in that case. Remember Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana told us that Mukta Shiyavesh, if Mukta fruit dried out sufficiently before Shabbos began, the owners were not aware of this. The owner had not inspected these fruits until Shabbos began. When he inspected them on Shabbos, he could tell that they had been sufficiently dried even at the beginning of Shabbos. Then, Mutter, then it's going to be Mutter. So when he took them up from the roof, he set them aside until they would dry out. Once they're sufficiently dried, they automatically lose their status. Assuming that they were dried before Shabbos, they're going to lose their status. So you don't need to designate them. What's left to talk about? The person must be talking about a case where the fruits were fit for use beginning of Shabbos, then they became unfit during Shabbos, and then they became fit again, in which case the Brisa is teaching you that they must be designated before Shabbos in order to permit them, and that's what we, Lechora, we want to bring, that they have to actually designate them in order to make them usable on Shabbos. The Gemara says, V'yi amet in mukta. Now, if you're going to tell me that the case over here is established as a portion of Shabbos, and there was no mukta, lama lehuaz mana. Why do they require designation? Even without a specific designation, they should automatically go back to the prepared status. So we see from the Brisa that something which is mukta during Shabbos retains the status the entire day. So the Gemara says, Elamai. So then what's the case? Yesh Mukta, going to tell you the halacha is that there is Mukta even for a portion of Shabbos. Ki azmin lo mai havis. Then if you designate them, what do you accomplish by that? At that time, they're intrinsically designated since they are fit to be eaten, and therefore their status is only going to the Isra status only come later. Then the early designation should have no effect on the new status. So the Gemara says no. So what's the lot sricha? So what's the case that Bryce needed? The ichsu v'lo ichsu. The fruits were somewhat fit, a little bit. Because some people eat it, and some people don't eat it. So this person has to establish, Rashi points out, he has to establish whether or not he wants to be, so he wants to eat it in the stage. So therefore, if he designated them, then galadaita, then his intention is going to be clear, and therefore he's removing the status of mukta. Lo asmin, however, if he did not designate them, lo galadaita, he did not reveal his intention to eat them, and they would remain mukta. So therefore, this, again, this price is not approved for Hillel. So the Gemara wants to bring another arizin. Amar Rabbi Zera Tashma, we can learn from another raya for what Hillel Shaila, based on the Papulim Nadash and the minhag that people had by beans and lentils that they cooked them on Yantiv. Now, when it comes to beans and lentils, beans and lentils are originally, they can be eaten raw. That's fine. Shadino be kadera, it chalev. When the moment that you put them in the pot and you start cooking them, they're unfit as long as they are boiling. turning on to next time. But now, gamar bishulay chazla. But when you start cooking them, they're completely, they're going to be fit for use. And we eat these foods on Yom Tov, so obviously we don't assume that it's considered mukta, and therefore they've been, even though they're unfit for a portion of the day, lechor, they're going to be mutter. We see that there, that we make shayla in Hillel's question, we have an answer to be makel. The Gemara wants to reject this as well. Amar le'abaya baya responds le'tamayach. But according to your reasoning that boiling hot food is mukta, then tikshilach kederos de'alma, that every shayla of Shabbos, when you have hot foods on Shabbos, de'has tam kederos de'alma, generally, when people are cooking at Erev Shabbos, they want them to be boiling hot. Benish masas rose klehen. They want them to be boiling hot right before you take them off of the coals or whatever you're taking them off right before Shabbos. They're going to be boiling hot. V'la'uri achlina minayu. Yet we partake of them in the evening after they cool down. But according to you, they were mukta in the beginning of the status of Shabbos. And why are these foods allowed to be in? Clearly, boiling hot food is not considered mukta. So rather, elagamru biyad bidadim lo kami baile. Rather, if there's no question with regards to something that's completion, is with regards to a human being has to take care of it. The hot food is considered human hands, so it's possible to cool it off through them. So therefore, since a person is able to make the food hotter and colder, therefore, that's not going to be something that is considered the common practice. It's not going to be shayla of mukta. That's not a shayla of Hillel. Rather, Hillel's only shayla is kibaylan, where gamra bide adam, where the mukta item is completion is considered bide shemayim. Hashem is the one in charge of it. It's out of human pans, if the fruits are going to have dried out or not, if it's enough sun, if it's not cloudy enough, that's going to be when it's going to be a shayla. So therefore, Hillel's shayla is only bide shemayim and not bide adam. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up with Rabbi Huda Nisai in tomorrow's daf.